Hello, loves. Welcome to the very first episode of Defining Kinks, where the goal is to define kinks we don't know and discuss the kinks we feel define us. This is a lovely little podcast I'm starting because, well, adults don't talk enough about sex. This is my attempt to be the change I want to see in the world. By driving discussion surrounding kinks you may or may not have heard of, I know some of them I've definitely never heard of, and just get people talking and truly sex and kink positive. Today I'm joined by the ever voracious Aurelia Rouse 2 of Reddit. Thank you so very much for being a guest today on this podcast.
Thank you for inviting me.
You are very welcome. And my goal today, at the very least, is to not scare you away from kink, so...
It took more than that, I'm no doubt.
Great. Fantastic. So, the topic that we are discussing today, the kink, is dirty talk, which, may I just say that me and a lot of your listeners definitely appreciate your enthusiasm for, so...
Yeah, I certainly have my moments. definitely something that's always fun to explore anyway.
Exactly. It's good. And I think you enjoy it and you think people often miss the nuance in it. So I know you were all about being on the pod today. So
very much so.
Great. Well, so first off, we're just going to, let's try to, as the podcast title goes, define it a little bit. So, dirty talk. I'm going to pose this question to you. What is it, or what do you think it is? And if you can, how would you define it?
I think the easiest way to define it is it's a way of connecting with a partner or a person when you don't have any way of sort of having physical contact with them. It's very much a tool or an avenue you can use to sort of get into their head, with anything, sort of sex wise. It's a very good way of exploring, an individual, shared interests.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I love that you said when you have to hold back or you don't have the ability physically. Like, I really love that you actually said that because there, especially today with social media and just like the technology advances, there are so many ways to have access to your partner that are way outside of physical touch. Yeah, very much so. There are so many. And I mean... You definitely know both of us, our peers in the voice community. So we also know that when we reach our listeners, we do not have the luxury of physical touch. So definitely exploring vocally is something that we have a lot of experience in. So I really like that. And I like how you said that you get to explore with your partner. So is it just talk, though, or is there more to it? You know, are there certain things that you have to say, or is there a bank of words that you have to use, do you think, or what do you think?
No, I think it's something that people tend to try and pigeonhole a little bit too much, because with certainly any kind of dirty talk, it's very much a case that it's specific to the individual. Or perhaps, with our case, with the group of people that we're trying to reach, it's not something that you can necessarily go, right, this will always work. This is 100% the answer. This is how it always works. End of story, job done. There's always an explorative factor to it. There's always some way that you can sort of feel a person out. And I think the thing that people tend to lose a lot when there is sort of live dirty talk going on is there's also the listening part of things. When anything is being said or anything is being, the concept's being explored or anything to that effect, there's always a reaction.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes a lack of reaction is more of a reaction than you need, you know? And I think a lot of people tend to overlook that side of things. When there is dirty talk, certainly, you know, in person or otherwise, is you have to be aware of your mm-hmm. partner. And of course, that does make it very odd, certainly with our field, because of course, you know, with a lot of what we do, there isn't anyone on the other side.
It's true. But, yeah. Like, not in the moment. We get no feedback in the moment. Indeed. Yeah, exactly. Like, we have to hope that everything we're trying to put across works for them. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. this is why we have tags in our medium. But yeah, like, we don't get that feedback. And so we don't know when to dial it back, push it forward, especially mm-hmm. in any improv, the pieces we do that are solely improv, or when we take, you know, little improv royalties with our, you know, script fills. But yeah, no, it's feedback and really feeding off. I like how you said that it is not 100% forward for anybody any certain way, mm-hmm. Because I think that this is one reason that I wanted to start the podcast, is because there are so many things that media and uninformed people who don't even practice kinks will tell you that across the board, this is this kink, you know, mm-hmm. or beware of this kink, or, you know, whatever. Like, it's such a dirty, shaming, uninformed thing, you know, and dirty talk, you know, I mean, it has dirty in it, mm-hmm. like, in what it is, you know, but it's not anything to be dirty or ashamed. It's like you said, it's another element of the sexual experience between you and your partner.
It's an expression.
Exactly. It's an expression. Like, and that's, in far as in defining it, there are no magical words you have to say, expletives or not. Like, mm-hmm. you know, I always laugh now. Oh my gosh, I can never unhear this. I always laugh now, though, because I saw this meme that said, yelling fuck during sex is like somebody yelling parkour while they're parkouring. And so now I can never forget that. But like, you don't have to use any expletives for it to be dirty talk. You don't. Same thing. Another question I had that somebody brought up to me is, are pet names necessary, and which ones? They're not.
No.
You know, but some people love to hear pet names. I don't know about you personally, but I don't think I have a pet name that I particularly like to hear, but I love to hear my name, because to me, that's that expression of connectivity. Like, yeah, that means they're in powerful. The moment with me. Yeah. Like, that's my validation. But mm-hmm. for some women, I've heard names like kitten, baby, darling, you know, there's so many names. There's so many out there, but, you know, and sometimes it depends on the play. Like, you yes. know, and as I hope explores other kinks and relationship dynamics in a sexual sense, mm-hmm. The same girl that loves being called honey mm-hmm. on a normal sexual day, perhaps if you're having the kink play, dominant sub may like kitten, or, you mm-hmm. know, or, you know, something to that effect mm-hmm. more on that day. Yeah. And so, yeah.
And it also depends on what area you may be exploring. I mean, you know, it could be, mm-hmm. you know, you're going from something a little bit more gentle to something a lot more aggressive, you know, a lot more mm-hmm. demanding. So
yeah.
it could very much be the case of, you know, going from, you know, honey or whatever to slut and whore or something like that. You know,
oh,
it does
yeah.
very
the
much.
The vibe, yeah.
yeah.
Definitely.
Depending on the vibe, but also on the person. You know,
yeah.
even in that sort of headspace, mm-hmm. it doesn't always mean that an individual wants to hear that.
Oh, yeah. No, there are, I think everybody's got that. I don't care what mood it's in, but there are some that I do not like to ever hear towards mm-hmm. me, you know, mm-hmm. and that's just, I think everybody has those ones, you know,
indeed.
And that's where you said listening. A huge mm-hmm. part is the listening. When you're yes. talking, the job for dirty talk is not to just spout out whatever comes to mind. I mean, yeah, you have to explore it, but you just as much need to be listening to the feedback they're giving you, their body language, their response, you know. Yeah. Go ahead.
And with a lot of it, you have to be aware that a lot of it is nonverbal as well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, certainly, you know, if someone goes dead quiet,
yes,
then that kind of tells you exactly what you need to do. Or if there's that slight intake of breath, then you know you're in onto something.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
And it's all very nuanced at the end of the day. You know, there's mm-hmm. a lot of, you know, for a lot of people, dirty talk is just saying whatever comes to the head. But
yeah,
you
know,
if you really want to connect it with someone, you've got to essentially say what comes to their head.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, and it's finding that middle ground, which mm-hmm. a big part of sex is. We want to find what works for me, and yeah. we want to find what works for you, and we're going to kind of meet in the middle where we can melt together. Mm-hmm. Because it's true, like, I'm, you know, if it comes with me with a new partner, I'm throwing out, you know, dirty talk and sexual things, and I'm throwing these things out, and I want to see which ones you latch on to, mm-hmm. you know, because you like them, you know, or maybe you've never experienced them. And so now you're like, okay, I kind of like that, you know. But mm-hmm. even I think how we talked about you know, social media and stuff, there are so much that people do online, over the phone, over screens. Nowadays, even there, you can tell a little bit when somebody pulls back.
Oh, yes.
You know, I mean, and that's, if you're going to practice kink over the internet and things like that, you can tell when somebody goes a little more quiet. Yeah. Even if you're just looking at text on a screen, you can tell a tone changes or they dial it back a little.
I think, honestly, that's one of the biggest things that people need to take away from anything like that, mm-hmm. is if you are practicing kink online, you need to be receptive.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And even if that's verbal or nonverbal, text, video, or whatever it is, you need to be able to react to your partner.
Because mm-hmm, exactly.
there's nothing worse than any kind of exchange, any kind of situation where it's obvious one person is uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah.
But the other person has not picked up on it.
Oh, yeah. And this is, I feel like this is going to be probably the thing I quote most, is this is why I have the pod. This is why I started it. But so many people are afraid to admit that they don't know what they want, or they don't understand it, or that they're afraid to say anything. And like you said, you have to be receptive, and you have to, you know, be open to pull back a little bit if you're uncomfortable. Like, you know, you have to be comfortable to allow yourself room to either push and pull, you know, mm-hmm. away from what you like and what you don't like, because at the end of the day, you know, you can't meld together if you're holding back, you know, like, you just can't, and it's not a good experience, and it'll just get worse.
No. And I think the other takeaway, of course, from that is you need to be, I mean, again, this is the same with anything, certainly mm-hmm. on the, you know, where there isn't actually any physical contact, is you need to be prepared to discuss it with a partner.
Yes.
That's kind of the biggest thing with any kind of, certainly with any dirty talk, you know, if you didn't like something, then you need to tell them, you know. If they haven't picked up on it, then you can't be afraid, you know, just too afraid to sit there and just let them get on with it, you know. That's,
oh yeah,
that's not a constructive experience for anyone.
Oh, yeah. And I definitely, on the docket, I have a fun episode planned called Practice Safe Kink, you know, and, you know, it's about that. It's, you know, you can't be afraid to say what you want and to say what you don't like, you know, because I've heard this time and time again, oh, my partner, you know, really likes this, and I don't really like it, but it's their thing, so I just kind of go along with it. And really, you're robbing yourself both of time that you could find a different kink that you mesh on, you know, because at the end of the day, you've got a subpar sexual experience, and so did they. I mean, you can pretend all you want, you know, I mean, you can, you know, well placed, you know, words, and, you know, kind of make them feel better. But I mean, it wasn't as good for either of you as it could have been. Like, so you can't be afraid to say anything. So,
And certainly on that score, it's You know, it's not just not being afraid to sort of speak up, but it's not being afraid to sort of take things in a different direction.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know, if you're not comfortable with it, you know, because, you know, it doesn't have to be an explicit state of like, no, you know, we don't want to do this in the moment. But, you know, maybe just sort of move it away gradually, or start it down a different alley, avenue, or, you know, just start, you know, something else that may interest both of you, and then just sort of gradually guide it that way. It doesn't have to be this, you know, going 30 mile an hour and then all of a sudden randomly ramming yourself into reverse and then everyone getting whiplash, you know.
Exactly. But, yeah, no, there's a way to handle it. It's, yeah, there's totally is. It's very good point that you brought up. So since we kind of mentioned a little bit and stuff, I will bring up, since I think this is a generational thing, or this is the thing nowadays, sexting is a very big thing. So what are your thoughts on sexting? What is the appeal of sexting, or where do you think people both, I guess, miss the mark, but also hit the mark on sexting?
I think sexting is one of those things that, I mean, certainly for me, it tends to be a prelude more than it does any kind of main course, as it were. You know, it's always a nice way to build up that tension with a partner. Certainly if there's, you know, not a way that you can actually take advantage of it at that time, it's always a nice way of keeping everything simmering. Mm-hmm. But again, as you say, there's a lot of people that tend to sort of go in too deep with it
and, yeah,
you know, treat it as the be-all and end-all. But it depends heavily on the person. It depends heavily on the situation. You know, I mean, sometimes it's fun, but other times you just may not be in that headspace. And, you know, you need to be able to sort of express that. But, you know, it's just being aware of yourself when you are doing anything like that, that you are, you know, you are on board with it, because there's nothing worse than, you know, it being a one-way conversation.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that feedback is nice. Uh-huh. You don't want dirty talk where you're, you know, or sexting where the person that you, that is responding to you is just like, oh, yeah. Just over and over.
No,
it's nice equally to have an active partner.
Equally, I also find with sexting and, you know, with anything textual, is it's also a very, very nice way of very carefully constructing what you're going to say.
Oh, yeah.
Just because it's not verbal, you have the ability to go back and tweak things, or, you know, just correct things, or just, you know, make sure that when you read it back, it does actually sound like you intended it to.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, that's good. Everybody make sure you, before you press send, you've read your messages.
There's nothing worse with nonverbal communication of having it interpreted completely differently.
Exactly.
Awkward situations.
Right. I love that it's a prelude. To me, sexting is just a lot of fun. I've talked about this with some of my girlfriends, and perhaps this is the way that we will say that women may be very a little different from men, is that I could totally be sitting on my couch in hideous PJs, munching on some like potato chips and sexting you with no interest to get off, but just enjoying this sensual, sexy banter, you know, and maybe it will lead to more and stuff, but sometimes I just enjoy that, this textual chase that you're going on with this person. I think it's a lot of fun. So, I mean, also kind of gauge that, like if, you know, if it's just staying simmery and lukewarm and your partner doesn't seem to be aggressively, you know, getting to the next level, perhaps they're just enjoying the drawn some.
No, it's very much, I think, it's always the same sort of story with anything. to that degree. It's something that varies between person to person, because, you know, you can't expect something that worked with one partner to work with with a different partner, and vice versa. And if you're writing anything longer of any particular erotic style, then again, it needs to have that particular, you know, grab that strikes home with your audience, you know, with the person that you're actually sending it to. Otherwise, it's just words.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, you know, and like you said, you don't ever want it to be one-sided. And like I said, you don't want to, well, when it comes to sex, it's such an experience in so many ways, like on so many different levels. You're being physiologically affected, you're being, you know, emotionally affected, and mentally affected. Like it sex hits you in every area. It's so much so that a lot of when you are having a great sexual experience, you cannot be in any other moment of your life. You are there. So definitely, like, you know, that's why you don't want to settle for, you know, half experiences. I mean, I know it's all about exploring and learning, but if you have a partner that is also trying to explore and learn with you, then it's okay that it takes a little time to get to that moment, you know. But if somebody's just kind of halfway in it, neither of you really get to that complete moment. Definitely. Well, we are going to take a break from the serious defining talk for a whole second. So I'm going to ask you, Arl, what is the worst bout of dirty talk or line that you have gotten, and why didn't it work?
Oh
no, that sounds like a man that's had a lot of bad lines.
No, I mean, it's not necessarily a case of bad lines. It's I suppose the best way of putting it is misfires, you know?
Okay.
Because I think I have had a situation in the past where it was getting fairly hot and heavy, and then there was a little bit too much towards the sort of age play.
Okay. Yeah.
And it was gradually getting more and more sort of, you know, innocence deflowered sort of thing. And when I was talking to someone that I know was not, you know, particularly of that bent, and it seemed to be more that we were heading more into role play territory than it did anything else. It was just like, where did this come from?
Okay. So it seemed like it kind of, the fact that they kind of jumped from what seems themselves more into, it looks like more into like a role play, like they just kind of flopped over into a different character instead of themselves. It kind of threw you off and
indeed, I mean,
removed you from situation.
At the end of the day, you know, whenever I do anything with a person, I'm doing it with that person. You know, I'm not intending to do it with, you know, whoever they perceive themselves to be today, or, you know, whatever character they want to present themselves to me. You know, it's a very intimate, it's a very, you know, explorative thing. And I can't explore with someone who I'm not entirely sure if they're being themselves or not, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
So it is one of those things that tends to, you know, can eject you pretty quickly from the moment.
This is true. That's true. Yeah, no, I mean, definitely. And I can see that how, like, yeah, it is a very, like I said, a sexual experience will remove you from, you know, it just kind of puts you really in the moment with this person. And if they kind of all of a sudden jump into the different skin of a character or somebody else, then you're just like, whoa, wait, you know, I was comfortable with you. Where are you going? You know, I could definitely relate to like that sort of moment.
The other part of it is that, you know, it's a very, I mean, exposing yourself to that degree is a very vulnerable moment.
So, of course,
to find someone is kind of playing a part or not quite exposing themselves in the same way. It's, you know, when you're already feeling very vulnerable about it, it can leave you very raw to suddenly get that kind of whiplash out of it.
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah, no, that definitely is the other side of it. Like, you know, if you feel that you are being very vulnerable, and I think we've kind of talked about it, like not being afraid to, you know, push and pull as you need to. It is vulnerable to do so and to put yourself out there. And yeah, if you feel the other person is just playing this part to, you know, placate your interest or your kink or whatever and stuff, then you definitely, you kind of start to remove yourself from the situation because you feel like if they're not being vulnerable and they're not giving everything, then you've made yourself double vulnerable almost, you know, in the sense that you're like, oh gosh, you know, I'm totally exposed right now. And that kind of fear leads to, you know, I've heard stories about stuff like that leading to bad, really bad sexual experiences, where maybe nothing physically bad happened, but just emotionally changed their whole view on what they think it's supposed to, you know, what it's going to be like with every partner. You know what I'm saying? Like, they feel sex has to be some sort of show. You can't be vulnerable, you know, or you're not supposed to be, which is not true at all, in my opinion.
Great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I'm trying to think, I think, probably this has happened a few times. I love sexting. Like I said, I can totally just be enjoying it. But I also love to write erotica and things like that. So to me, it's just, I say stimulating because it is. I think everybody knows, like, and I think a lot of people who look at erotica, or read erotica, listen to audios, or view pornography, sometimes the intent is not always to get off. The intent is that stimulation. Like, we all know, like, you know, maybe you haven't been able to put a word on it or thing. And I don't know if stimulation maybe is not correct, but it's just, it unlocks that other part of your mind that just helps you like kind of relax a little bit and get in touch with your sensuality. But, you know, you don't have to do anything. So I think that's why I enjoy sexting and dirty talk in that sense, playful or serious, you know, and things. But I think the worst examples I have are probably where it's been initially good, but then like by like the sixth or seventh message, you get the, you want to see my dick now? Like just a totally different tone. Like just boom, it's right there.
Crouching tiger, hidden dick pic.
I mean, I want to be thankful because they at least ask without just, ba-doom, you know, shooting it through, because that does happen. But, you know, it's like, it's not reading, you know, it's just totally removing, you know, and I guess maybe that was they're trying to be vulnerable and stuff. And then that's where I just have to be like, you know, not yet. I'm actually liking this little scenario, this banter, like, let's keep it going, you know?
Yeah.
So do you have any more bad stories or do you have any really good stories? You know,
I mean, I think everyone's had both sides of the coin, but
we hope.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
well,
I
not the
eventually, eventually everyone's going to have, you know, both sides of the coin.
Yeah.
You know, even with the same partner, you know, sooner or later, somebody's going to make a misstep and say something that the other person's going to go,
Yeah. No, good point. I like how you say it with every partner, because some people think that that's just not going to happen, and it will. Mm-hmm.
Oh, it will.
It will.
No, definitely it will.
Yeah.
If you don't think it will, then you're just going to be sort of jumping down that hole with both feet, you know, without even looking.
Exactly.
It will, you know, and I think it's more how you deal with it afterwards is more important than what was said or what was done in the moment, you know, because, I mean, the thing is with dirty talk, with sex, with anything like that, it's very, very easy to almost lose yourself to the moment. You know, it's like a really good dance, you know, it's very easy to lose yourself to the music or to the motion or, you know, to anything like that. But when, you know, when suddenly when the music stops, and you have to sort of shake your head and realize where you were, then that's kind of more the point of interest when it comes to, you know, what actually happened. Because I mean, I think everyone's going to run into that point where they say, you know, they call someone a particular pet name that they really don't gel with.
Mm-hmm.
Then that's going to be the fun part to unravel afterwards.
Yeah, right. Yeah, like just oops, you know, it does happen, and like how you said, it doesn't have to be a derogatory one because it doesn't.
No.
And with all the different dynamics out there for, you know, kink and sex play and stuff, sometimes the more rough, you know, the more rough, more extreme, or the darker role plays or scenarios, it wouldn't be derogatory stuff that maybe pull you out of it. But it's, you know, maybe if they slip in something that's a little more affectionate, you know, like darling or something, then, you know, maybe you're like, hey, don't call me that. Don't call me that.
The only thing to remember with that is it's not even necessarily the word that's important. Sometimes it's the intonation of the word that's the important part on that.
Oh, yeah.
Because very much you can say the word two different ways. Because you can say the word darling, you know, you can say it very soft. But you can also keep the same tone. You can keep the low, you know, the low sort of roughness with it and use the darling, you know, end of the spectrum to keep it sort of in, you know, in the sort of area that you're currently inhabiting with your partner at that point.
Oh, yeah, definitely. The tone, the inflection indeed. Definitely can totally affect it. Good stories. Yeah, I think everybody has good and bad ones. So I think we all have those ones where you just seem to sink on every level and you just really get through it and stuff. And then probably at the end, you're both breathless and you're just like, what the fuck did we just say? Like, we don't know. But, you know, we all have good moments and bad moments like that. So good.
Again, as I say, it's like getting lost with the music, isn't it?
You yeah. know,
sometimes the music is just perfect.
By the time
you're done, it doesn't really matter, you know, where the music took you. It was right.
Yeah. And if you happen to remember it, like we said, that's the good thing about feedback or like talking about it with your partner, you know, like, you know, if you happen to like kitten, you know, then afterwards you're like, so kitten. And, you know, it's just like, I really like that, you know, like that's all it takes. Like, you know, you don't have to draw it out into some big, you know, sociological discussion, you know.
It doesn't need to be 20 questions.
Yeah, it is. So what do you think about this phrase or this phrase? You know, like it doesn't have to be that, you know, and just stuff, just the simple like, I like that, even in the moment sometimes, just saying, ooh, I like that. You know, it's that simple. We don't have to draw it out into some big thing. Mm-hmm. In the first part, we talked about what is dirty talk. I want to talk about why dirty talk and how. So we've kind of hit on some of the how, like how can you effectively dirty talk with your partner or explore it? So some of this may be a little bit of repeating or expounding. So I have just some questions here and feel free to chime in and stuff. But why, and some people there, we have to keep in mind that some of the listeners don't understand dirty talk at all. They do not get it. So if you had to say, just as an adult male, why dirty talk? What is so exciting or appealing about dirty talk? What would you say? Like if somebody who has no preface to dirty talk or audio erotica or anything?
I mean, personally, a lot of it is affect. Because, you know, it's a very powerful feeling, you know, being able to use a particular tone, a particular intonation, a particular set of words or something, and get a very visceral response out of someone.
Yes.
It's a very, very primal feeling to be able to sort of explore something with someone and know, you know, without words to the effect being exchanged, that you're both enjoying it just as much as each other. And certainly exactly. When it's stuff that you're exploring that's new. You know, it's a very good way of exploring something like that in a very safe and sane sort of scenario that nobody's going to get hurt over. And certainly if it's the more, you know, out there things, if it's the more, you know, particularly difficult things, then it's something that you can sort of verbalize, you can work through, and you can see how it works with your own head. And often that's a good way of telling whether or not it's going to gel with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's a very odd concept, but you can actually use audio, dirty talk, anything like that as a way of working yourself through things that have happened to you or that you've got particular hang-ups over.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you can work through something that you know has given you a very visceral bad reaction because of something that's happened in the past with someone that you trust,
mm-hmm.
you can start to reverse that damage. You can start to rationalize the logic behind it, and you can start to sort of reattach that whatever it is to something a lot more healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very good way of, you know, helping people grow sort of sexually and indeed as a person on that score.
Yeah. You hit on so many things. Definitely. I love how you said it's like that, the response without actually physically doing it. And you hit more on how it can help you explore kinks and scenarios that you've yet to do, or maybe you'll never actually do, but it gives you a chance to like talk about them. And in the mind is hugely powerful in physiological response. The mind makes you feel so many things when you unlock things in it. And so that's particularly why I love, like I said, I talked about that stimulation. When you're having the dirty talk, you can feel all of these things. Your mind helps you imagine when your person that you're dirty talking with talks about running their fingers lightly across your collarbone. You don't have to physically feel it, but in your mind, you can recall that. And already your body starts to respond to it, you know, and it's not actually happening. And that's how powerful dirty talk can be. And I love how you said that it can be safe. I don't think audio artists talk about this enough. And I'm not just talking about not suitable for work, you know, erotic content. I'm talking about a lot of suitable for work role play or affirmation audios that people have given us notes that they're able to listen in a safe environment and to work through things and to know that they have the control and the power to pause, stop, rewind, re-listen, refuse to listen, you know, that they mm-hmm. can slowly work through it in a safer zone, you know, because I think there's too many, you know, extremes out there, you know, that, you know, you have a bad experience and you never want to revisit it again because you never want to open that trust bubble again to somebody after you've been hurt like that. So it kind of gives you this, it almost makes us like this impartial third party vehicle a little bit, like we can help get you there, you know, like we'll help you, you know? I think it's all of those things. I think that's why it's so exciting in a lot of ways. Cause it just can open so many doors, you know, and do so safely.
And especially if it's sort of darker things that you never thought interested in or indeed, you know, wanting to look into, you know, it's something you can sort of dip your toes into and then you can decide before, you know, anything else happens. Okay, that's not for me.
It's like the kink light version. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, if you think that you might be into, let's say, like a burglar fantasy, you know, then like maybe talking it out and using, you know, dirty talk and things that might come up in your mind or that your partner's mind, maybe just, you know, having that dirty talk, sexting or talking about it, maybe halfway through you decide, you know what, this is fun, but okay, maybe I don't want you to actually dress up like a burglar and, you know, surprise me, you know, but it helps you. Yeah. Like it helps you get your toes, dip your toes in a little bit.
And on the other side of the coin, I've had, you know, messages in the past from listeners who've basically said, you know, I didn't think this was from me, but because I know you, I know the content that you've put through, you put out, mm-hmm. I'm familiar with your voice, mm-hmm. I was comfortable enough to continue listening to it.
Oh, and yeah.
That's a very, very powerful thing, you know, being able to take a
tremendous compliment, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Yes, exactly. Very much so.
Yeah, no, it's a tremendous compliment when they say things like that. Mm-hmm. I like how you say, like, the exploring, like, the tone and things and making it playful, I guess, is mm-hmm. my thing. Like, I also love the playful element that you can – dirty talk can pull so many different ways with different – and I love mm-hmm. that, exploring it. Mm-hmm. I love that I can – let's say I had a more subbish male partner – then I may be very sweet and call him my lovely good boy, you know, or call him a very bad boy, you know, when he does something wrong. Whereas opposed, I could have a very dominant, primally set male, and almost change the tone of where he's being more aggressive and I'm playing more of the prey. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I could call him a very bad boy, you know, in just the tone of like, oh, that's too bad for me, you know, like, but it's fun, like, you know, just to explore those things. So I think that's why it's exciting to me, because you can just play off each other's dynamics and fun.
And I think that's something that a lot of people tend to overlook as well, is just how mm-hmm. much of a difference the tonality of something that's delivered yes. can make. You know, and it's not even necessarily just the tonality, but the cadence mm-hmm. With which you deliver something can make a huge, huge difference to the impact. Because, you know, I mean, it depends on the different, you know, the situation or anything. Because, you know, there's plenty of things that you can throw out. And, you know, there's a big difference between somebody, you know, being very gentle and saying, "You're mine." And there's mm-hmm. a very different, big difference between, you know, the more dominant side of it going, "You are mine."
Exactly. Yes. And people. Yeah. And it's in every partner has different needs mm-hmm. in what they would want, what would work for them, you know, mm-hmm. and most of the time you're going to know based on what you know on the person. And you know, even I personally love dirty talk. So even in short-term partners and sexual experiences, I would prefer it to being quiet. That's just me. But there's nothing wrong with having an open dialogue pre-sex, you know, or kind of having like a prelude, you know, maybe with sexting or with the dirty talk to kind of get a vibe from each other, you know, mm-hmm. find out where your little boundaries are here a little bit, you know, it's, that's the problem. I think too many people are afraid to admit when they don't like something because they're afraid they're going to turn the other person off. Indeed. And all the time, I think people, and I've heard it many times, you know, "Oh, I didn't want to hurt their feelings, or I didn't want them to think I was shaming you." You know, that's not what it is. Mm-hmm. If you can't even establish your own boundaries, you know, then, you know, it's already set to fall from the beginning. Mm-hmm. Like I said, it's going to be subpar because you're going to be in that headspace hoping that they don't knock against your hard limits. You know, mm-hmm. you're not going to be able to let yourself go and enjoy the moment.
Well, I think something to take away on top of that point is just, well, you know, whenever you're doing anything like that, is never stop adjusting.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Fine tuning.
Yeah, definitely. No matter who you're talking to, mm-hmm. if it's a long-term partner, if it's a short-term partner, if it's someone you've been doing it for fucking months, years, God knows how long with, they may not be having the best day. Mm-hmm. They may have a lot on their mind. They may be stressed. They may be anything. And what always works may not work.
Yeah, no, yeah.
And it may be something that, you know, it's because you're so used to the way they react.
Yeah.
You're kind of just filling it in. But if they're not reacting like that, you need to be able to pull it back. You need to be able yes. to tone it down. You need to be able to slow it down. You need to be able to react to that individual at that time. And that's yes. the important part, is at that time.
Yeah, exactly. You talked about it at the very beginning, that a big part of dirty talk is not talking, it is mm-hmm. being aware and being able to, you know, react to their reactions. Mm-hmm. Because it's so true. And it doesn't even have to be a bad day, but maybe the same tone and dirty talk and sexy stuff works 90% of the time. Mm-hmm. But maybe that last, you know, that 10% of the time, they're just wanting something a little different today, you know, and maybe they don't even know what it is, but you need to be open to realize that, you know, the normal pet name isn't doing it, or the normal dirty talk, or the normal role play. And it's okay. It doesn't mean that you're bad. You could do something different today, and the next 100 times they'll want to go back to the normal time. It's people get their feelings hurt so much. And that's not, you know, that's not the thing. That's why, you know, this is a sex podcast, and I don't want anybody to be offended when I say this, but sex is a natural thing. Kids don't have these big adult egos, you know, about sex, like, you know, or about life, that they get so offended. You know, but we do when somebody says, oh, I didn't really like that, or oh, I don't really feel like doing that today. Like, we chalk it up to that our whole sexual self is a muck up. Like, we, and you know, and then we pull back, you know, 10 steps, and it, you know, so I mean, it's definitely, you just being aware, that's a huge part of it. It's like how they say, you know, what is it, like 70% of verbal communication is nonverbal. Like, indeed. It's just, yeah, like definitely just pay attention to some cues. It doesn't take, and it's not a huge time consuming thing. No. Which kind of plays into my second question. When is it appropriate? When is dirty talk appropriate? First answer for me is when they're okay with it. Yeah. So, I mean, consent is a huge thing. Okay. Indeed. If they're not okay, and you're getting the cold shoulder, like, you can read it in text, in video, in person. When you're getting a zero almost response, stop. Please stop. If you're getting the red light, if you're even getting the yellow light, be ready to dial it back. But if you're getting the red light, let's just stop, okay? That said, when is it appropriate for me? I feel like, other than that, when it's, you've got the ability to be kind of off to the side. You don't even have to be alone. But sometimes, like we said, it's a prelude. Maybe you're at a party. You lean over and you just say something a little provocative, you know. And then that's dirty. That counts. That's dirty talk, in my opinion. You know, and you can do that all night at a party. And it's just a big prelude, you know. Fantastic. Or the sexting, you know, or whatever. Yeah, definitely.
And certainly what you touched on earlier, you know, with sexting, you know, there's no real limit where you could be doing that from. You know, you could be doing that from work. You could be doing that from, you know, from a library. You could be doing that from a coffee shop. You know, there's nothing to stop you other than the other person. And exactly. Of course, that's the important part.
And it's just wherever, just, you know, like with the consent. And like I said, if it's the other person and they're giving you the green light, then go for it. Have fun. And like I said, just remember, just pick up on the cues. If they're picking up that, you know, hey, this is leading to like a full out hot session when I get home, then there you go. And if it's not, just enjoy it for what it is. It is exploring your sensuality together. It's a bonding thing, you know, and it can just enhance things later.
I mean, I think my simile of using it as a dance is still very, very accurate in this case. You know, it's you know, it's just because both of you know the steps doesn't mean that you're going to be doing it well together unless you're actually listening and moving with the other person. So that's very, very important. Is just to be, you know, just to be aware, just to be sort of cognizant of what the other person is thinking or feeling or what have you at the time. And it is very much a case that you know, I think a good percentage of, you know, actually doing any kind of dirty talk is, you know, learning what the other person is wanting at the time, you know, and seeing what works for both of you more than anything else.
Exactly. So in summation, if you could probably say, we've kind of talked about everything. So at the very end of the day, where do you think people go wrong with dirty talk? And if they would just, I mean, you kind of hinted on it a little bit, but just your final note, if where people have gone wrong with dirty talk, that maybe if they wouldn't, it could open the doors a little more to enjoying it more or being more receptive to it.
I mean, the first one is fairly obvious on that score and is just, you know, be aware of what your partner wants. Yeah, I think we've kind of beaten this particular point around the head, but I don't think it can really be stressed enough because, you know, I think that is kind of the biggest failing point when it comes to a lot of people's dirty talk is just, you know, not actually being aware of what your partner is actually wanting at the time or whether or not they're even in the mood for it, because, you know, sometimes you're not. But the other thing that I find where a lot of people go wrong is don't overthink it. Because I find with a lot of people, and certainly the biggest problem with a lot of this can be complacency. You know, sometimes you get stuck in the same ritual, you know, you get stuck in the same, you know, this always works, we won't branch out from this, and then it just gets stale, and, you know, that's the last thing either of you really deserves when you're having a sexual encounter with someone, is it just getting stale. Yeah, complacency is very much something to be aware of. But, you know, certainly with the back to the original point I was going to make is, you know, don't make it into a performance. Because a very good way of taking someone out of the moment is using terminology or something like that that you would never use before, or trying to make it too flowery. Because, you know, at the end of the day, you know, when people are getting hot and heavy, it doesn't have to sound like a romance novel.
True.
At the best, most of the time, you know, when you're getting into it, probably shouldn't sound like a romance novel.
Fair.
For most people, that tends to be a bit of a, you know, I mean, again, you know, it varies depending on who you're talking to or indeed who your partner is at the time.
Yeah.
But, you know.
John Wick? Else,
yeah. There are certain times, certain phrases that you should probably just not touch on, certain words, as you mentioned earlier, that you should steer clear from, and, you know, just keep it simple. You know, it's an expression of, you know, what you want to be doing with that person, or indeed what you want that person to be doing to you. It doesn't have to be war and peace.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't have to... You know, you don't have to go into the nitty gritty details of every potential aspect of it, but just keep it flowing. You know, keep what you know, keep the passion there.
Yeah.
Don't make it robotic.
Yeah, exactly. No. Yes, great points. I guess the only thing, like, I totally love that. You know, keep the flow going that you have. And I think my only thoughts or, you know, where do people miss the mark and where could they do better if they would just keep in mind is balance. Definitely, like you said, like that, you know, we've talked about it, that push and pull, you know when to bring it back, know when to push it forward. Reading your partner definitely is a huge thing. Somewhere else I think people miss the mark is their expectations. They either expect, you know, that dirty talk has to be a certain thing, you know, or it has to go down a certain way, or you have to use a certain amount of words or languages. What would you kind of talked about, you know, like a word bank? Is there a special dirty talk word bank? There's not at all. So, you know, and part of the balance and push and pull that you've hit on is this dirty talk should be tailored to you and your partner. This is a very personal, you know, like it's your experience. There's nobody else in this scope but you two. So you shouldn't be trying to pull out anything. If you're trying to explore something, great, but keep it in line with you. You know, if it's not, like you said, if it's not something that you're going to use ever and not something you're into, but you're trying to play out a free use fantasy, then, you know, use something that you would use in the scenario. You know, like definitely that. And finally, like, don't be afraid to laugh at yourself. Like, have fun. Sex is supposed to be fun. Like, It just is. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. That's the kind of person I am. It's supposed to be fun. So don't be afraid to laugh, like, or to be silly or, you know, whatever. It's okay. You're both adults. You both want to have a good time. So if mm-hmm. somebody slips in a, you know, a bad cue, you know, calls you a sensual love muffin, it's okay to giggle and go, okay, you know, like, okay, thank you. You know, like, it's just a silly thing. Like, it's okay to laugh at yourselves. Just have fun. Like, that's what a lot of kink is to, like you said, keep the passion alive by exploring something new, you know, and prelude to better sex. Thank you so very much, Arl, for being on my podcast. I hope I haven't scared you away from dirty talk, as you have quite a following of followers that would be rather upset with me if you strayed from your dirty talk. So I hope that you enjoyed it, and I hope all of you listeners enjoyed it. This has been, for me, a very fun first episode of Defining Kinks, featuring Dirty Talk as our kink discussion today. I hope that it has awakened passion in any of you to explore Dirty Talk further, to maybe try a few different elements of it that maybe we talked about, or to try it for a first time. So yeah, that's my goal. If you have any ideas or feedback or suggestions for my podcast, please send them my way. I want to know what kinks and discussions you guys want to have. So yeah, until next time, please kink safely and have fun.